The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidil mursalin amma ba'd fa'a'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We're back with this beautiful journey through the amazing life of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Tere to wasf aib-e tanahi se hain bari, hairan hu mere shah mein kya kya kahun tujhe. Allah Hazrat really sums it up. He says that the fact that somebody has a million good qualities and then they come to an end, that coming to an end is a defect. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are free from that defect as well because your good qualities never come to an end. Subhanallah. Hairan hu mere shah, main kya kya kahun tujhe. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Durood e Pak is an amazing wazifa, an amazing tool that Allah azza wa jal has granted us, an amazing gift. You know, sometimes when you're dirty, you wash, you have a shower, you clean up, you feel fresh, don't you? What about the mind? How do you wash, clean, and purify the mind? Listen to this hadith of Baqa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite Durood e Pak upon me in abundance, for it is purification for you. Subhanallah, it helps to cleanse your inside and out beautifully. You know, when you're feeling anxiety, fear, stress, the best thing to do is recite Durood e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the blessing of this will be that your heart, mind, and soul will be purified and you'll feel relieved. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if we go to the question of today, very interesting question actually. What is the greatest blessing a person will receive in Jannah? There'll be everything in Jannah. You know, anything you wish for, anything you desire. And the scholars write in accordance with the Hadith of Barakah that, you know, all these beautiful drinks, you will see, you know, beautiful birds flying and you'll think, you know, and suddenly it'll be in front of you, ready to eat. And in the exact proportion that you need as well. And all sorts of fruits, amazing things, palaces, whatever you can think of. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. But what is the greatest blessing that you're going to get in this amazing world that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created for the pious people? The answer at the end, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Now, we're going to move to our beautiful kalam. Let's listen to this beautiful kalam by Rukn Shura Abdul Habib At-Tari Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah. As-subhu bada min talaatihi والليل دجى من وفرته هنور سهر چهره سے تیرے اور شب کی رونق زلفوں سے اللہ 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 اللہ
علي هذه الأمم لشريعته نعمت کا خزینہ ہے مولا گنجینہ رحمت ہے آقا ہادی ہے تمامی امت کے اور راہنما ہے شریعت کے
اللہ 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 اللہ
الشجر نطاق الحجر شق القمر بإشارته
انگلی کے اشارے پیڑ چلے اعجاز سے پتھر بول اٹھے اور چاند ہوا ہے دو ٹکڑے انگوشت کے اشارے سے
اللہ 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 اللہ
جبریل اتا ليلة أسرى والرب دعاه لحضرته
جبريل أمين پیغام خدا لے کر آئے تھے شب اسرا معراج پہ ان کو بلوایا قربت کا شرف ان کو بخشا
اللہ 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 اللہ
فمحمد هو سيدنا فالعز لنا بإجابته
تو محمد ہے اپنے آقا اس نام سے اپنی عز و بقا طوفان میں جب یہ نام لیا پھر ڈوبتوں کو ہے کنارہ ملا
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam that was. One of the first couplets I was listening to, it was basically telling us that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this amazing treasure that Allah azza wa jal has gifted the worlds. And the world is constantly benefiting from this amazing treasure. You know, the companions, they were benefiting from this amazing treasure there, then those who came after him, and 1460 years later, the Ummah is still benefiting from this amazing treasure. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara, is still looking over the beautiful Ummah of his and protecting them and helping them and providing for them with the power that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful kalam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to go to our main segment now, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
So our beautiful journey had reached position that there was a lot of difficulty for the Muslims. Now the Muslims were in Madinatul Munawwara, they were getting stronger. But the problem was that the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula were always planning to put an end to Islam, and that continued. And the battles, the difficulties, the constant kind of onslaught, it took no rest. And then added to the outside enemy, there were enemies from within. The hypocrites. And the hypocrites were looking for any opportunity. So you'll remember when we talked about the Battle of Uhud and how they formed a crew. And right at the time of battle, Abdullah bin Ubay, he kind of took his people away to cause difficulties for the Muslims. And how constantly in Madinatul Munawwara, these hypocrites were causing stress for the Muslims and creating problems in the path of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now today, they stooped to a new level. What happened is this, that after a ghazwa, the Muslims are returning back. And with the Muslim entourage who had traveled, there were women as well. And there were the mothers of the believers, the wives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, en route, they stopped at a place and they rested. And the mothers of the believers were on camels, and on top of their camels, there were veiled kind of platforms. So like you get a dolly, this kind of cover. So the mothers of the believers were sat inside, and they were traveling on the camels. So they had their veiling, their parda. So they stop in this place, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is traveling in one of these kind of domes on top of this camel, which is completely covered. So it stops. She then gets out to go and relieve herself. She comes back and everybody's preparing to now move on. She realizes that she's lost her necklace. So she then goes back in search of it. And when she goes, unfortunately, because everybody assumed she'd come back, they set off. And because it was enclosed, they assumed that she was within the parda, she was inside. So they left without her. Now the army sets off for Medina, and she comes back, and there's nobody there. And you can imagine the shock on her face. And now it's all nighttime as well, and she's really kind of afraid. She's thinking, what do I do now? And then she makes the decision. She thinks, well, sooner or later, they're going to realize that I'm not in there. So if I stay put, they will come back for me. So she sits down and falls asleep there. Now, the Muslims were very clever when they traveled in big entourages. So what they did is they always had a sweeper, they call it, at the back. So this person would travel a good distance behind the caravan. And then, because it was a big caravan, a big army, anything that they dropped, he would pick up and bring. Or if anybody got lost, for example, he would then find them and bring them back. And he was somebody who was quite pious, quite clever, knew what he was doing. So, on this particular occasion, the person who was given this particular duty was Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala. Now, this was a very pious person. And he was given this duty in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to basically become this sweeper so that in the entourage, if anybody, anything or anybody got left behind, he could pick it up so that Muslims didn't incur any damage. So as he's following behind, he notices a woman. He goes up and he realizes that it's the mother of the believers. So he immediately calls her. He has a camel. So he puts her on the camel and starts to walk in front of it with the rope. Nothing, no difficulty. So sooner or later, they're going to catch up with the caravan. Now, as soon as he sees her, he says, you know, indeed we belong to Allah and indeed to him we shall return. Because the mother of the believers has been split from the kafla. Allahu Akbar, big thing. So anyway, he with respect and honor, he places her on the camel and they start to walk back. And they arrive at the caravan. So it's pretty simple. You know, it's nothing that untoward. But those munafiqun, the hypocrites who were within, gave them an opportunity. When they saw Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, and Hazrat Sayyidina Safwan arrive, they started to spread rumors. The leader of the munafiqun, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he started to spread rumors that, na'uzubillah, you know, the mother of the believers and this person who had picked her up were having some sort of affair, na'uzubillah. And he started to spread this. And the hypocrites who were with him started to spread this as well. Unfortunately, some of the Muslims, they fell into this trap. And they started to also accuse. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, was clearly upset about these evil rumors. But Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything because it was personal now. And they'd done this on purpose because they were hypocrites. They hated Islam and they had an enmity against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they wanted, na'uzubillah, to hurt the best of creation, hurt the beloved of Allah azza wa jal. This was their mission. So this is why. And so because it was personal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew everything. I mean, this is the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who's told us about Jannat and Jahannam. This is the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who predicted everything that was going to happen in the Battle of Badr, told the people exactly where the people were going to be, going to die. Everything. And told us everything that's going to happen up till the Day of Judgment and on the Day of Judgment and in Jannah and beyond. So, you know, nothing was hidden from the eyes of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew exactly what the situation was. He knew the innocence of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers. He knew that Hazrat Safwan was a very pious man. But obviously, it was now personal. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not deem it appropriate to actually announce the innocence of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha himself. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to gauge what the people were doing, waited for divine revelation, but at the same time asked them, you know, what are you saying? So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, you know, about the situation. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, being the great, he says, O Messenger of Allah azza wa jal, these hypocrites are most definitely liars. So straight away, Allah's beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those close companions and the real Muslims knew that this was another fitna of the hypocrites. O Messenger of Allah, these hypocrites are most definitely liars. When Allah does not allow a fly to sit on your pure body because it sits on impurities, how would he then allow somebody who is within your naqah? Hazrat Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala says, when Allah does not allow your shadow so that nobody can put their foot over your shadow, how would Allah azza wa jal allow somebody to attack your dignity in this way? It just can't happen, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he says, O Prophet of Allah azza wa jal, once when an impurity caught your blessed sandals, Allah azza wa jal sent Jibreel Amin to inform you to remove it. Thus, if Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wasn't a pious woman, wasn't a virtuous woman, How would Allah Azza wa Jal allow her to be in your nikah? It couldn't be happening. And Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, when he hears of this rumor, he says to his wife, he says, tell me, if I was in the place of Safwan, would you think it possible of me to dishonor the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal by committing such an act? What is your answer? And the wife of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, whose mazar mubarak is in Istanbul, and alhamdulillah had the pleasure of visiting it, what a peaceful place it is. The wife, amazing, amazing sahabiyat, she says, by Allah, if I was Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, a wife of the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, I could never betray him as such. So, and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is 1,000 times more virtuous than me, and Safwan is 1,000 times more virtuous than you. And so, this is just treachery. This is the hypocrites. How dare they accuse the mother of the believers of this vile, vile act and this allegation. And so, all the true Muslims and the true companions knew what was there, and Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. It is also narrated that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked all these companions, and they swore by the virtue. They even went to the slave girl of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she said, she is the most, I spend all my time with her. She is the most virtuous, the most pious person you can find. So, you know, the only fault I've seen, if you describe it as a fault, is that sometimes when she's tired, she needs the door and leaves it, and I've seen the goats come to it. And that's the only thing I can find in the whole of her character. This is how amazing she is. And yet, you know, these hypocrites are casting this, horrific accusation upon her. Then, you know, this was the confidence, this was the testimony that people were giving in her honor. The people were really upset. How dare they, the true Muslims, how dare they accuse such a virtuous, such a pious woman? That one particular day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends the pulpit and addresses the Muslims. Indeed, the person who has spread the rumor about my family has caused me immense distress. By Allah, I know nothing in regards to my wife save that she is a righteous woman. And these people, i.e. the munafiqun, the hypocrites, have accused a man, Safwan, when I know him only to be an upright individual. I mean, how blessed is this Safwan radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I know this person is pious, subhanallah. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives this, but doesn't actually affirm the innocence. And that was for a particular reason. The vision and the knowledge of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so amazing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted a revelation. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what was to come was something magnificent. Something amazing was going to happen. So, now during all of this time, these rumors are being spread. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha doesn't know, because on the journey, they were between the men. Then when she gets back, she goes back to her house. And the women don't mix that much with the men. Obviously, the parda and everything else. But she became ill as well. So she's ill for a period of time. So she doesn't know at all what is happening outside. Now one day, when she's feeling better, one of her servants tell her. And she cannot believe it. She's devastated. Now the person we're talking about here is somebody amazing. So she's absolutely devastated. She asks in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission to go to her home. And she goes back to her house to see her parents. And she speaks to her parents. And when she's there, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bless them and come in. Now, this is amazing. You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come in and say, O Aisha, regarding the rumor being spread about you, if you are innocent, then Allah Azza wa Jal will surely announce your innocence and quit you through revelation. But if you are guilty, then pray to Allah for forgiveness and turn to Him in repentance, as a person who asks Allah for forgiveness shall surely be forgiven by Him. And there was very great hikmat in these words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was up to now, she was crying. She stops crying. And then she says this. Now you've got to remember, this is amazing. She says,
get, you know, in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, I say like Hazrat Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's father, Hazrat Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam said, in the ayat of the glorious Quran, Surah Yusuf, verse 18, therefore, patience is better, and from Allah only I seek help against matters that you relate. Subhanallah, because she was one of the greatest scholars of Islam. We got so much knowledge of deen from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers. And she was the best, the greatest mufti of Islam. So she quotes such an amazing, amazing ayah mubarakah of the glorious Quran. And she, saying this, she turned her face away and said, Allah knows that I am innocent, and I know that Allah will surely send down a revelation in my acquittal. Look at the confidence that she had. One of the greatest scholars of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says this, and the scholars write, immediately her call was answered. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadn't moved the slightest. Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, and who was there? Their Zawjah Muhtarma was there, their wife was there. And suddenly you could tell the signs of revelation being revealed. It was cold at the time, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forehead mubarak started to sweat. And you could see that the revelation was coming in spite of this weather. And you could tell that the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal was receiving the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, was receiving the glorious Quran. Then once it finished, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, oh Aisha, show gratitude to Allah and praise Him, for He has declared your innocence and chastity and absolved you. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the glorious ayats of the amazing Quran. And I want to read them to you because they were absolutely magnificent. Indeed, those who have brought forth this great accusation are a group from among you. Do not consider it evil for you. On the contrary, it is good for you. For each man among them has the sin that he has earned. And for the one among them who played the greatest part in it, for him is a terrible punishment. If only when you heard this rumor, the believing men and women had thought well of one another and said, this is clearly an outrageous slander. That's how the Muslims were supposed to react. And that's how a lot of them did as well. But those who fell into this trap of the hypocrites, Allah Azza wa Jal reprimanded them. What has happened to you? Why didn't you dismiss this? These were just rumors. And these glorious ayats of the amazing Quran apply today as well, because we listen to a lot of things, and without confirming them, we then start to spread rumors. But it didn't stop there. This revelation in the Shani Mubarak of our mother was so amazing, it carried on. Why did they not produce four witnesses? Since they did not bring witnesses, they themselves are liars before Allah. And were it not for Allah's grace and His mercy upon you in the world and in the hereafter, a terrible punishment would have reached you for the discussions that you fell into. So the discussions about whether this had happened or not, or whether the mother of the believers had committed a wrong act, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, how dare you? These discussions, Allah Azza wa Jalla would have punished you for them, just discussing this. And then the glorious Quran went on, when you rumored with your tongues after hearing such matters and uttered with your mouths about which you had no knowledge, and you considered it light, and that in the sight of Allah is very great. Allahu Akbar. You know, you considered it was just a matter, but in the sight of Allah, this was a grave, grave offense. This was something which was so serious that, you know, the punishment of Allah for you, this was, you know, and at the moment, we've not even got to the Shani Mubarak of our mother. We're still dealing with the hypocrites and those who fell into this trap. Allah Azza wa Jalla is reprimanding him. And the Quran goes on, and why was it not that when you heard it and you would have said, it does not befit us to speak regarding this. Purity is to you, O Allah. This is a great accusation. Allah commands you never to speak like this again. If you have faith, and Allah clearly explains the verses for you, and Allah is omniscient and all wise, indeed, those who wish that slander should spread amongst the Muslims, for them is a painful punishment in this world and in the hereafter. And Allah knows, and you do not know. And were it not for Allah's munificence and His mercy upon you, and that Allah is forgiving, most merciful, you would have tasted its outcome. Allahu Akbar. So not only did the Quran declare the innocence and the purity and the honor and the dignity and the great status of the mother of the believers, but also Allah Azza wa Jal reprimanded and warned all of those who were involved in this and disgraced the munafiqun. Subhanallah, Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very angry and visibly upset, because one of the people, Sayyidina Mistah, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had been caught up in this deceit, and he had fallen into the trap of the hypocrites, and he had been discussing and saying things, and he was actually related to Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his father had passed away. And Hazrat Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had looked after him and his family and provided them financial assistance throughout their lives. So he had brought him up. And yet, you know, this was what he had done. He had fallen into this trap. So Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I'm not going to provide for him anymore. But you have to remember who Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest person, greatest creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, after all the prophets. He is the greatest man to ever live on the earth after the prophets, alayhi salam. So, this normal person, it's a normal reaction. If somebody accuses your daughter of something, you would do much worse than that. So he says, I'm not going to provide him with financial assistance. But Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, doesn't allow him to do that. That essentially what the Quran says is, no, anybody else, it might be okay. But for you, you are the beloved companion of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So another revelation comes. And listen to this, Surah Nur, verse 22. And let not the men of excellence and wealth amongst you swear not to give their kinsmen and to the needy and to the emigrants in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, and let them forgive and remit. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is oft forgiving, ever merciful. You know, his character, Mubarak, was so amazing that Allah Azza wa Jal didn't even want him to kind of take revenge, because that wasn't befitting his great character. You know, he didn't want to Allah Azza wa Jal didn't want Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu to do something which didn't befit his magnificent dignity and his status. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, you carry on giving him, because no matter what he did, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for what you do. Subhanallah. Now, hearing this verse of the glorious Quran, Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu broke his vow and continued to assist Hazrat Sayyidina Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu as he did previously. Subhanallah, they're amazing people, amazing. You know, Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ayats of the Quran are being revealed for his daughter, ayats of the Quran are being revealed for him. I mean, what can you say about this family of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. He recited the verses of Surat Nur, as well, and touching upon Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha's innocence. And then he said that all those who played any part in spreading this rumor and this horrific deceit, they should all receive 80 lashes of punishment. And some of the Muslims were involved as well, because they fell into this trap. So they received it as well. Hazrat Imam Kirmani, rahmatullah alayhi, he writes in the margins of the notes that the innocence, blamelessness, and the purity of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was absolute and definitive. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. And so if anybody had any doubts about this, they were outside the fold of Islam. Why? Because before it was a rumor, and you know, people weren't sure. But when the glorious Quran testified to her purity, subhanAllah, you don't get purer than that. When the Quran testifies to how amazing you are. So after that, it's absolute that anybody who has any doubts about this incident leaves the fold of Islam. Subhanallah. How amazing was that? Now, viewers of Madni Channel, you know, these are the people who were around Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Move on. Another journey, another time. And the Muslims are in a certain place and there's no water. And they need to perform their salah. And Allah Azza wa Jal blesses them with the ayat of tayammum, to perform ablution by putting your hands on dust and then to pass the certain ruknas, pass them over your face and over your arms, and then to perform salah. And again, this was a blessing purely because of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She wanted to stop at that particular place, and then subsequently there was a delay and there was no water, and the ayat of Tayammum came along. And one of the companions, Sayyidina Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala anha, was joyed at this ayah mubarakah on Tayammum, and he said, "Oh, family of Abu Bakr, this is not the first blessing that we have received due to you." Subhanallah, so many blessings came to the Muslims because of the amazing family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And you know, this was the Muslims. Then we had the famous decisive battle in the 5th of Hijrah, the Battle of the Trenches. This was a very difficult time for the Muslims. This is also known as the Battle of Ahzab, the Confederates as well. There's an ayah, there's a Surah Mubarakah in the glorious Quran. What happened is this. Again, this onslaught on the Muslims. You know, the Muslims are in Medina, they are safe, they are teaching, they are preaching. And so the kuffar of the Arabian Peninsula can't hack this. Even though the Muslims are living in peace, they can't bear to see the Muslims living in peace. So the tribes start to come together again. And they again make a plan to come and attack the Muslims. And they go far reaching and they invite the people of Makkah, and they go to, because they've tried on a number of occasions. So they try to bolster, and they're working behind the scenes to try and get different tribes on board. Even tribes who had agreements with the Muslims not to fight against them and had agreements to help each other, they went to those tribes, and initially they said no. But eventually they gave in as well. And slowly this huge army started to form against the Muslims. Abu Sufyan, who was in Makkah, is kind of semi-commanding this, but different leaders from different areas and different villages and different tribes are coming together. And this time, again, their one mission is to put an end to Islam. And na'uzubillah, to martyr Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that this will completely wipe off Islam from the Arabian Peninsula and the world. 10,000 strong army they managed to raise. And they then set off and march towards Madinatul Munawwara. Now the Muslims in Medina obviously were very scared. They had to defend themselves again. It had not been long since the last battle. But again, they were constantly trying to defend themselves. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gets all the strategists and makes a meeting on the how we should defend ourselves. So different strategies are put forward. Now, in Madinatul Munawwara, there were several different ways of entry, four different ways, but most of them weren't easy. There were jungles, there were houses in the way and everything else. But there was one main path that such a huge army of the disbelievers could use and would use, and was their main route. So it was decided that we will dig trenches on that route into Madinatul Munawwara, so that this would delay and stop this huge army marching in. What they did, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the amazing leader, the amazing commander, they took all the women and children out of these houses which could possibly be attacked, and they put them in the center and put them in secure positions. Then the men set out and went to dig this trench. Now, the trench would be 5 yards deep and would spread all the way across, so that when this huge army arrived, they would be confused as to how to get across it. Because to get into it, they would then be at the mercy of those soldiers that were standing there. So this was a very clever strategic plan. But it wasn't easy in that cold weather to build or to dig a trench that huge to stop an army of 10,000. But this is where the companions were amazing. Because they, even some of them, even though some of them hadn't eaten for so long, even though they didn't have the strength, they showed that it doesn't need food, it doesn't need strength, it just needs the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They started digging these amazing trenches. The Ansar and the Muhajirun came together. And they said, the historians write that there were so bitterly cold mornings, and without food, but constantly digging. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon seeing this jazba, this passion, this enthusiasm of the companions said, O Allah, indeed the only true life is the life of the hereafter. So forgive the Ansar and the Muhajirun, subhanAllah. And in reply to this, they all in unison said, we are people who pledged loyalty and allegiance to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in jihad, and we shall always remain loyal to him for as long as we live. Conditions were very difficult. You know, but despite that, these people were magnificent. On one occasion, they are digging this trench and there's a huge boulder and they cannot do anything with it. You know, they try to move it, they try to break it, and it's just a huge boulder. And they think, right, what are we going to do now? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam picks up the pickaxe and comes to this boulder. And the scholars write that it was amazing. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadn't eaten for several days and had a stone tied to the stomach Mubarak. And for those of you who don't know, you tie a stone to shrink the stomach so you don't feel hungry. And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one with the keys to Jannah, who said, if I wanted these mountains to be made of gold, I could turn them into gold. It has not eaten for days. Aka Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes this pickaxe and strikes this huge boulder. And it just shatters. And the first time Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strikes this, he was able to see Syria. The second time he strikes it, he was able to see Iran. The third time he strikes it, he was able to see Yemen. And he could see the palaces and the places. And he turns to the companions and says, in these three strikes, Allah Azza wa Jal has shown me the glad tidings that Muslims will rule these places. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet gave the prophecy. The Prophet told the future and gave the news of the unseen. And that was exactly what was going to happen. In one narration, it also says that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that the kingdoms of Kisra and Habsha would also be conquered. Look at the timing. This happened years and years later. This is, at the moment, the Muslims are trying to protect themselves. There's only a few of them. They're in Madinatul Munawwara. They're being constantly attacked by the kuffar to put an end to Islam. And yet at that point, the beautiful and blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Sahaba, don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to be conquering Yemen. We're going to be conquering Iran. We're going to be conquering Syria. All these lands will be Muslim lands. Look at the knowledge that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Now, last amazing, amazing thing happened. Hazrat Jabir, he saw that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't eaten for days. And he couldn't bear it. You know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that pickaxe and the companions themselves couldn't break it. They tried. And three strikes and it's like dust on the floor. You know, it's grained. And, you know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives these glad tidings. But he knew that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadn't eaten for days. And he just couldn't bear it. He was hungry himself. The other companions were hungry. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadn't eaten. He comes home. He goes to his wife. He says, what do we have? She says, we have about one sa of barley. And she says, we've got this little lamb. So he says, well, I'll slaughter the lamb. You prepare the dough and make something. And I will call Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because I can't bear to see the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't eaten for days and is hungry. So he slaughters the lamb, prepares the meat, gives it to her. She's kneading the dough. Everything's getting ready. As he's leaving, she says to him, she says, be cautious. We've only got a little bit of flour and this small lamb. So just call Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and perhaps a few companions. And that's it. Because obviously we don't want to be embarrassed because we've not got that much food. So he goes, he reaches the messenger of Allah and he whispers into the ear of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, we have prepared a sah worth of bread and slaughtered a goat. A meal is being prepared for you. I humbly request that you and a few companions come to eat. And he's told the best of creation what he's exactly done. It's not like we've prepared food, bring everybody. It's like we've only prepared a little bit. What happened next was amazing. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to all of the companions and said, O people of the trench, leave what you're doing where you are. Jabir has invited us all for food. So all of you stop digging and let's go to his house. SubhanAllah. Now, Sayyidina Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, And look at the aqidah, the iman, the belief, the faith, and the confidence of the companion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, he didn't say, no, no, Ya Rasulullah, there's been a misunderstanding. We only have a little bit of flour. We only have a little bit of meat. It's only for you and a few companions. I can't take these thousands with me. No, he doesn't say that. He says, if the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said it, it's not my problem. Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will deal with it. And he had that confidence and that love that took over. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns to him and says, tell your wife not to remove the pot from the fire or the bread from the oven before I arrive. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrives. They put their saliva mubarak, lu'abi dahr mubarak, into the barley, into the dough, and into the pot where the lamb is being cooked. Then they instruct the family to start putting it in, and companions start to come. They eat, they're putting it in from the pot, they're giving them the roti, and they're eating till their heart's content, and they're going, the next batch is coming, and 1,000 companions eat that meal. 1,000. And then when they look, the dough is still there, and the pot is still full. And Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, oh, the smile on his face that day must have been amazing. Because he had the love and the compassion. He'd invited Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam announced it, he didn't stop anybody. He let him come. And one of the greatest miracles of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 1,000 people come and eat. And everything's still there. He is absolutely amazed. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And then what happens a little later? There's another sahabiya. And you know, the Islamic sisters, the female companions played a great role in, you know, the mission of Islam. And so she sends some dates for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And again, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spread out a cloth mubarak and placed the dates on there, and then invite all the companions. There are only a few dates, but said, come on, come and take them and eat. And the companions come in their droves. They eat the dates, and it seems like the dates are still there, but they're all eating from them, and they carry on going. Each and every companion eats to his heart's content. Madarijul Nubuwa, page volume 2, 169, it is narrated that each and every one of them, they eat till their heart's content, and then they eat till their heart's content, and then leave. Subhanallah, what another amazing miracle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now, viewers of Madni Channel, I think we're on 55, so I think we've got to now move on to our next segment. I've got so much to talk about. So many amazing things happen when the Muslims, alhamdulillah, were in the company of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And time has really flown today as well. We're going to have to leave it there. What Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was bring the Muslim army together. There were only about 3,000 companions, but the way that Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam strategized and dealt with this and to defend the Muslims from this army of 10,000 who had blood in their eyes was amazing. Inshallah, we're going to continue that next week. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We're going to move to our second segment, Easy Good Deeds. Salu alal Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now, last week we were looking at easy good deeds, and you will remember that we were talking about one of the best and easiest good deeds, which has so many amazing benefits, and that was Durood e Paak upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you remember I was going through the beautiful benefits and the amazing power of this. That list didn't finish. So what I wanted to do was continue that list today. Because no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what your problem, what your ailment, what your disease, what your difficulty is, Durood e Paak upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is such an amazing, amazing thing that it will solve everything. It will light up your world. Subhanallah. So continuing from there, you know, whoever recites Durood e Paak, the hadith mubarak that I started with, it will purify your inside and your outside. If you recite Durood e Paak regularly, Durood e Paak will protect you at the time of your death. Durood e Paak will make sure that before you die, you see the palaces of Jannah. Durood e Paak is such an amazing, amazing wazifa that on the plains of resurrection, it won't leave you as well. It will be with you there and it will keep you safe from the terrors and accountability of the day of judgment. You know, Durood-e Pak is such an amazing gift that whoever recites this regularly, his intellect, his heart, his courage, everything will increase. Durood-e Pak, whoever recites it in a gathering, it will bring barakat and blessings to that gathering. Whoever recites Durood-e Pak when he's upset, when he's in difficulty, when he's got tension, when he's got depression, this Durood-e Pak will make sure that all of that disappears. This Durood-e Pak is the road to Jannah. This Durood-e Pak is something so amazing that it brings light to the heart. It will literally light up your heart from the inside. This Durood-e Pak is a way of you gaining protection from the oppressors. You know, you get people around you and you think, I don't want to, you know, get involved with his evil. You know, Allah Ta'ala protects me from his evil or the evil of people around me. Carry on reciting Durood-e Pak and you will remain in this amazing, amazing protection. Durood-e Pak is such a magnificent wazifa that, you know, when you recite Durood-e Pak, you, Allah Azza wa Jalla, raises your respect and honor amongst the people. When you recite Durood-e Pak, your personality, your characteristics, everything gets barakat and blessing in them. Your sustenance gets barakat and blessing in them. Your age gets barakat, blessings, mercies, and you are showered with bounties. You know, when you recite Durood-e Pak once, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends 10 mercies upon you. Now imagine that person who spends his day reciting Durood-e Pak. He's constantly basking in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Peri Sambio, we've run out of time. I'm going to give you the answer to our beautiful question. What will be the greatest bounty in Jannah? The greatest bounty in Jannah will be beholding the vision of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeing the Creator, subhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the opportunity to carry on in this amazing journey and learn more about the amazing life our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.